I got to pick on somebody today.
Oh.
And sometimes God uses me as an agitator. You could ask my children that, all right? So you fathers out there, you have a blessed Father's Day, and know that this is a special day to you. But not too long ago, I had a message for the father of this house who happened to move to heaven on us, and one day we'll get to be with him again. Glory to God. But when I first came into the building, I'm not starting yet, all right? This is free time for me, all right? Well, there's a little note, and it says, by Donna Hake, do you know the sound of his still small voice? And I set myself apart before I come out here in the sanctuary to pray. And I read that, and I thought, you know what? People are missing out on the gift that this gal carries. I think you all know that. You and I are blessed by it. But there's multitudes out there that need it. I said there's multitudes out there that need it. So I have a seed. I'm a firm believer in seed time and harvest, and I need a great harvest. I need a bigger harvest this year than I've ever needed before in my ministry because of God stretched me. I know none of you ever heard that terminology before, but we're going to talk about it just a little bit. So this is seed to get this in print, not just this one, but the multitudes and the multitudes that you're setting on like a chicken on an egg. Are you preparing it? Oh, well, that's seed for that book, because I want a personal, I want one. All right. No, don't tell me. I don't want to know. I will be like a child at Christmas. Okay? I will. All right? You have no clue. Well, I think you do. But how blessed I've been with just the Spirit of God that rests upon you, sister, and the gift of God. And as you release that, it blesses me. I know I'm not the only one. And I was at a church service last night in an Ethiopian gathering that speaks English, thank God, because I don't speak Ethiopian. And I told them I come to throw gas on their fire. All right. So I'm here today to throw some gas on your fire, because I know you're all fired up and full of the Holy Ghost and power. Can you say amen? I know that you are anointed in this day and this hour. That he's anointed you with his Spirit, that you can go about and do good and heal all that are oppressed of the devil, because he's with you. Can you say amen? So I want to rehearse something, if I can do that. And I want to bring some sense to it. I'm not starting yet, all right? I'm being Uncle Bob right now, all right? That's who I was introduced to when you had to deal with me for three and a half, whatever it was. I know this is a tithing church, and I know you're a tithing congregation, all right? So you don't take this and think, ooh, you know, don't give me that look, all right? But I'd like you to go to Malachi chapter 3. I want to read these scriptures to you. I know you know them. Probably most of us quote them. But I'm going to actually take the time to read them to you. Is that okay? All right. In verse 10, it says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. My brother and sister, there is meat in this house. I said, there's meat in this house. Sometimes we don't draw up close enough to the table to receive the meat that is presented to us. I know that's none of you, but some people don't. They don't stay hungry. They don't stay in a place of, God, I don't have enough. I got to have more, because I want to be a greater blessing than ever before. And I know I can't be the blessing that you've called me to be unless I have fresh manna, unless I have a fresh touch, unless you continually fill me and fill me and fill me, to be continually filled with the Holy Ghost, because I don't want to lose my song. Amen. Even though you might not like to hear me sing, I don't want to lose my song. Glory to God. Because it's not for you, it's for Him. Amen. He likes it. Glory to God. I said, He likes my worship. He likes my praise. He likes my shouts of victory. Amen. He says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. My wife and I have been pretty good at proving God over these things, because we remind Him who we are. All right, quite often, because stuff sometimes breaks down and you live out on a farm in the middle of nowhere, and a lot of times there's needs that rise that you didn't even know existed until they happen, and you're going to say, all right, God, this is Bob and Sharon down here, you're tithers, and I'm here to, you know, let you know that you remember, all right, He doesn't forget, so you remember who we are, we're in covenant with you, and we are tithers, and you promised us these scriptures. So I'm just reminding you, I just want to thank you that it's taking place even right now. He says that, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Help me to communicate this properly, Lord. If I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be enough room to receive. I want you to think about that. There shall not be enough room to receive. Okay. You know, one of the keys is we need to go make more room. All right, go open up a new checking account. Okay, put a buck in it or whatever you got to do, and expect God to fill it. You know, invest in something and expect manifestation of increase. You all know those principles. I know you do. It says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before its time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Well, I'm part of a nation, and I call this house blessed. I call you blessed. I know you're blessed. Far abundantly more than you could probably ever ask or think. I know that you've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. I know that you're blessed to do something with the blessing, and that's to be a blessing. Can you say amen? So, and we know as Word of Faith people that we've never been able to outgive God. Yeah, I'm telling you, you can't do it. Because why? He's still El Shaddai. He's the God of more than enough. So all nations shall call you blessed. You shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. This house is a delightsome land. I don't want you to ever forget this. It is a delightsome land. This house is blessed. You and I, I'm family. I'm not a visitor here. You understand me. I'm part of you. You're part of me, whether you like me or not. You're just stuck with your relatives. Hallelujah. So, you know, you can pick your friends, but, you know, guess what? All right. I won't go any further than that. But what the point I want to make here, he says, I'll open up to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be enough room to receive. The Lord spoke to me. He told me to read this back to you. This was in my notes. I have 12:29-24. I don't know if that was the first time I released this to you or not, but it was a word for 2025 for all of us. You know, this house, but all of us. I'm going to read it to you. Most of you will remember it. Some of you might have forgot, but the Holy Ghost wants you to remember it. This will be a season of greater stretching beyond what it was ever before. This will take you through what limited you in the past, or what you have known to be your limits of growth and abilities. There is much more in store for those who choose to allow me to guide them into the things that I've laid up for them for this now season. This will take a heart after me and a decision to go with me beyond the limits of the natural man. Will you follow me? Question. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 through 16, he says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, neither ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." That'd be us. "But God hath revealed them unto us," that'd be us again, "by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received," say that with me,
I have received,
okay, "not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know," oh, hallelujah, "that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man cannot receive the things which the Spirit of God has, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yea, he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Now think about this, and I'll get you thinking. God said, "You don't have enough room to receive what I have for you." Didn't he say that? He said it to me. This will be a year, the year ain't over, of stretching.
Yes.
What does stretching do to a container? It makes it bigger. Why? So there can be more poured into it. So it can be a container that can receive more in this day and hour. That stretching that we've all been through in different areas of our life, and I know it's different, but this house has been stretched. You know, sometimes, you know, you take a balloon and you stretch it to a capacity, and sometimes they break. But I guarantee you, you didn't break. You've been stretched. It's not over. But the reason you're being stretched is because there's a capacity within you today that is larger and has the ability to receive more than you've ever received before. If you want to believe that, take hold of it. I'm going to believe it for you. I'm going to believe it with you. And I'm going to take a dose of it myself. All right? Amen. Because why? We need to be a greater blessing in the days that lie ahead of all of us by the stretching of the Holy Spirit, by the capacity of becoming a larger container. Okay? I'm not talking the natural here. I'm talking about the Spirit. So that's why I see there's a hunger, there's a thirst, there's the spirit of wisdom and revelation is so readily available to all of us, but will we come to the table in the presence of our enemies and allow him to feed us, even though there's struggles, even though there's a fight, even though, you know, there's battles all around us, even though there's confusion and all the things that the enemy tries to conjure up in our lives. But be still and know that he is God. Amen? Now, I'd like to minister to you if I can. That was the icing on the cake. Okay. In case Jesus shows up, I want you all to have your dessert. All right? Okay. All right. So I want to start this out. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. The entrance of your word will bring light, illumination, revelation, strength, power, will bring increase in every one of our lives. Father, we just thank you for it. We thank you for your precious word. We stand in these exceedingly great and precious promises that by these we all can be partakers of the divine inheritance. Of the nature, of your nature, God, that you will reflect who Jesus is in and through each and every one of us more and more in the season ahead, starting today. Thank you for it. Thank you. Thank you. Hebrews 12, I'll just read a couple of scriptures to you. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, sin which does easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We all have a race set before us. We all have a mission, an assignment. We all have a purpose in this life. We understand that here. He says, looking unto Jesus. So who are we looking to?
Jesus.
When I say that, I know that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, that we don't remove Jesus from His Word. And we certainly don't take the Holy Ghost out of the picture either, because He's the Spirit of Truth. And the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit are in total harmony and in unity. Can you shout amen? It says, looking unto Jesus, the author, and what's the next word?
Finisher.
Of whose faith? Okay, that's my faith individually. That's your faith individually. But that's also the faith of the house of God, of the church of Jesus Christ, of the ecclesia, of the local body. So He's the author and the finisher. Are you with me? So in other words, He authorized you, He called you out of darkness, He brought you into light, and you receive what he already did for you, and you became a born-again believer, correct?
Yes.
In other words, you believed in the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, you called upon the name of the Lord, and all of a sudden, the greatest miracle known to mankind, you were born again. You came out of darkness into light in that day and hour. You became a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things were passed away. Behold, all things have become new, and you're a child of the Most High God, and as many as received Him, to them He gave power to become His family, His children. That's us, right? If that's not you, come to this altar right now. You don't want to miss another minute.
Absolutely.
All right? You must be born again. I said you must be born again. Yeah. You want to see the kingdom of God? You must be born again. Now, we know that. I'm not trying to delay things, but I want you to understand that. That He authorized you. He reached out to you. His Word came, birthed faith. You agreed to it. You received it. And you were born again. Correct?
Yes.
Now, understanding, He's the author and He's also the finisher. So there must be a final end. Now, think about this. This church, this house, this ecclesia was birthed in the Spirit. You understand me?
Absolutely.
You know, I know somewhat about the history. Some of you know it much better than me. And God set a man and woman as the pastors of this house. And I believe it was about 45 years that they served the Lord in that capacity here. And the pastor one day, I remember looking at him, and I've done my purpose. I've finished it. I'm ready to go home. And I didn't want him to. I said, I didn't want him to. But I had a word from an Ethiopian prophetess in San Diego, California, when I was about 35, 36 years old. She says, don't let your love get in the way of what God's love wants to do. And I've missed it a few times. You know, sometimes we can go too far. Sometimes we can try to fix things that aren't our job to fix. I did come to the right church in York, Pennsylvania, right? All right, okay. Amen. I'm so blessed to be here with you. Amen. So, I look at this, and there's a season that different ministry gifts influence us to greater degrees. Now, I believe in apostolic ministry. I believe in fivefold ministry. I believe that's why God hooked me up with Pastor Bill and Pastor Dale, and, you know, different ministry gifts. That's why he hooked me up with many of you, because why you are, some of you are in the fivefold ministry. Well, the thing of it is we didn't choose what office or what call. He chose us. He gifted us. He graced us. Now, we got to obey that. You can, you know, sometimes we can slip out of our real call. Sometimes we can try to be Mr. Fix-It and fix everything. Now, I know that doesn't happen to any of you. Amen. Sometimes you get, I hate to say this, sometimes we get our nose in the wrong business. That's nobody here. I this was for the church down the street. I know I missed a turn, all right? So anyhow, I'll just give you a dose of it anyhow, all right? So what I'm saying is there's an assignment, because we have grace for our place to run our race, to hit the mark of the call that is upon our individual lives, as well as the call that's on a church. The vision that Pastor Bill and Donna carried throughout their assignment here as pastors, that vision wasn't their vision, it was God's vision. They were stewards with that vision, and they released that vision and did the very best that they could do, so that every time that you'd be underneath their ministry or with them, I guarantee you they radiated with the vision that they carry. And this gal still does. All right. I know that we got somebody rooting us on. One day I'm going to see them again. All right. I'm not trying to make you sad. Glory to God. We got to celebrate. Hallelujah. But what I'm trying to get you to see is it was authorized the same way you were. This church was authorized. And here we are, we're part of this great church. You know, I might not live here, but bless God, I feel like this is part of my home. I got many homes, and this is one of them. And what I see is he wants to finish it, and it could possibly be different than it ever was before. Because we live in a different day than what we did 10 years ago or 5 years ago or 2 years ago. See, you were born for such a time as this, and no matter how old or how young you are, you're right on time. God didn't make a mistake. Whoa, man, I wished he'd have been born 10 years before. He sits in the heavens and laughs. Who's he laughing at? He's laughing at the devil. Same way we should be laughing. Can you say amen? Because you and I have authority over him, and he is under our feet. Oh, glory to God. Now, go with me to Matthew chapter 16. I want to put one nugget in you, because I believe there's a warrior spirit in this house that needs to come in to a greater manifestation than we've ever seen before. Because there's victories to be won. There's giants to be killed. There's darkness that tries to creep in and tries to take over and take charge. But we don't have to let it. I said we don't have to let it. You know, we can lay down and play dead, or we can stand up, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God, and fight the good fight of faith until we win. Amen. So I know if you're here today, you are a mighty warrior in the kingdom of God. Oh, I don't feel like it. That is not a feeling, trust me. Dear God, if it was a feeling, I wouldn't have come this morning. All right. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for his anointing. Thank God for the call. Thank God for who you are, because you're the ambassadors of this day and hour to represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and to bring the glory of God into the situations where they've never experienced Jesus Christ. Amen. So as we let's take a look at this, Matthew chapter 16. We understand that we're in a battle, and we're not fighting flesh and blood. We all get that. You know, we're not fighting each other. We're not fighting people that don't agree with us. We're not fighting the government here. You understand me? We understand we are dealing on a different level of battle. Because in that battle, there are principalities, there's powers, there's rulers of darkness, there's spiritual wickedness in high places, understanding that there are devils. Can I talk like that here? So, in other words, he comes to steal, kill, destroy. There's demonic things that try to limit you and to take you out before you've finished your purpose in this life. And you don't think if he wants to do it to you, you know exactly well he'd try to do it to a whole church. But we're not going to let him. I said, we're not going to let him. Now, as I speak that to you, I'm in this thing with you. I'm not like, well, I'm your coach and go for it. No, we all have a part. We all have a function. We all have an assignment and a purpose. Whether you choose, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, you choose. God's not forcing us. He's saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Amen? Why? So when you're rested, you can mount up with wings as eagles and you can soar above the situation so that you see right, you hear right, and you can react right and win your battles. Amen? So as I look at this, did you find Matthew 16? You guys are sweet. I forgot how sweet you all were. Whether you know it or not, I really missed you. I know that you think, oh, they're just a hillbilly, went back home. Thank God. Matthew 16:13, this is when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some of us say that thou art John the Baptist, or Elias, or others, Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Who called this church into existence? Yeah. Yes, he did. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I have an assignment for those of you that are teaching during the morning session. I will ask you to dissect that and expound on that to a clear perspective, because I don't have time to do it, and I know it'll take you into a depth to help the people to understand the power that we have as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to take authority, use our authority to bind things and loose things, to take authority in the name of Jesus, not to permit things, and understand that there's things that we need to permit. So that's a whole other, that could be a book, okay? So maybe, Randy, maybe you need to write that book. I'm not, that's just me, brother. All right, yes, sir. I'm so blessed with your ministry, brother. So I want you to back up. He said, flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you, Peter, but my Father which is in heaven. And then Jesus said, upon that rock. Well, my understanding, it's not built on the man, Peter, on Petra, on, you know, like so many have said that. I don't believe that. I believe the church is built on the revealed revelation that God gave Peter, which I believe is revelation knowledge of he is the Christ, he is the Son of the living God. Now, whether you want to accept that or not, that's up to you. So I look and I know that I'm a part of the church. Christ is in me. I'm born again. I understand that he authorized me when I come out of darkness into light. And he will fulfill that which I'm called to do in my divine purposes. Now, I got to cooperate with him. I got to allow him to do the things that need to be done in me individually. And guess the good news is, you get to do it too. All right, he's no respecter of persons. All right, he's not picking on us. All right, he chastises those he loves. Say, I'm loved. I'm totally loved. Amen. So, as we go through process of spiritual growth, of having the illumination, it all started with He is God. He is the Son of God. He is the Christ. So He is the He is God who come to rescue us, to redeem us, to bring us into fellowship and into the family of God. Is that correct?
Yes.
So, revelation knowledge, which I believe we all have it, because that's where we started, with the revealed will of God. Now, if I understand principle, the same principle that the church was founded in, He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, is the same spirit of revealed knowledge. Revealed knowledge from God. Now we have the Holy Spirit here. We can be filled with the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, our guide, our revelator. You understand me? Who's the revelator? Will expound on this word to you and me? The Holy Ghost. Who's the one that inspired men to put this into print? The Holy Ghost. Who's the one? It's the breath of God. That you and I have fellowship, communion, and we can be filled and continually be being filled with Him. Understand that as we allow Him in our intimate time with the Holy Spirit, in the Word of God, as Jesus speaks to us, He says, He's going to teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. So you get a chance to sit with the teacher. I get a chance to sit with the teacher. We get some instruction. And all of a sudden, something you thought you knew, you don't know it to the depth that He wants to reveal it to you. In other words, there's deeper to go in the season you and I are in than we've ever been before. There's more to open up, and what I believe is we've been stretched, we have a capacity to receive more revelation than we ever have before. And that's just part of it. I believe there's gifts that God wants to introduce to us as we do life, as we understand the transformation of the church in this day and this hour, that we're going to be exposed to things that maybe we've never been exposed to. Because why? God wants to pour more and more and more inside of us, because it's up to us to do the work of the ministry. It's not just up to the pastors. It's not just up to the evangelists. It's up to the body of Christ, because the reason He gave us those gifts was to perfect us, to complete us, to equip us, so that you and I can do the work of the ministry, because you have the potential to minister to people that Billy Graham couldn't reach. Can you shout amen? Come on, help me out here. Keep me awake, okay? Amen, amen. So I look and He says, I will build the church. So who's built you and me? Jesus. Okay, how'd He do it? By revelation, all right? It started out in a new birth, understanding who He was and receiving who He is and what He's done. Now, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to look at verse 9. Who's building the church? The Lord. Okay. For we, verse 9, are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. Is that a word to you and me? Okay. 2 Corinthians 6. Verse 1, we then as workers together with Him beseech you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Why? Because that grace that you receive, that gift that you receive, those favors that you receive, equips you to run your race, to bring pleasure and delight to the Lord, because you're willing and obedient to do what He shows you to do, and you have the grace that's sufficient for you to win. I hope this is registering. Who's building the church? Jesus. Okay, guess what? He did his part. Yeah, yeah, he did his part. Now he gave you and me a part. It's all different. I realize that. Now, how do I have to cooperate? I need to be a laborer together with him. I have the pleasant opportunity, since you probably last seen me, I'm in the process of relocating. I'm not going far, but we're relocating. And I got a little nervous on it. I have a barn that I put an efficiency apartment in, but actually it really was established first so we could do youth retreats out on my property. And we did that until we outgrew it, and then we had to go to another facility. Some special people here that I see have been up to Edinburgh to some of the activities that Pastor Brian's done. And what I understand, isn't that right? I've seen your smiling face up there, girl. So what I'm trying to say to you is we outgrew that facility, and so we flipped it into the office for my wife. She's in business, and that's pretty much why she's not with me most of the time when I travel, because she's busy, and somebody has to support me. He who finds a good wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. I am highly favored, my brother and sister, just so you know that, all right? And she's very dedicated and passionate about what she does. And it's certainly been a blessing because I've drug her around. And you know, she's been right with me, and we've worked together and all that. And we're in a different season now. And the Lord had to deal with me because I didn't want to be alone. And I knew that she was never going to go to some of the nations I was called to. I certainly wouldn't even want to take her there, all right, unless God told her. But what I'm saying is I knew that I had to change. I was stretched, okay, because there's a strength that comes to me when she's beside me. You understand me? Our gifts complement each other to help the body of Christ. Well, in the natural, she's home praying for me, or actually she's in church probably praying for me, or already did. But what I'm saying is it's not that we're not together, but see, we're co-laborers together in the will and call and purposes of God in our life. We're cooperating together, even though we might not be hand in hand at times. See, that's the way I want to be with you. I want to cooperate with the Lord in what he has for you. You understand me? And he's got good things. Because you've been stretched, your capacity's bigger than it's ever been before, and you're going to be able to receive the gifts that he brings to you. Oh, glory to God. That's exciting. Amen. I want you to embrace what he has for you. So as I look at this, I'm thinking, I was telling you about the barn, okay? Well, me, who can pretty well allow the Holy Spirit to teach me to do whatever I need to do. I've been a great electrician, even though I got knocked off a ladder one time because it bit me. They said, no, the electric's off, Pastor. I was working for Church of the Word International in Titusville, Pennsylvania at that time, and we were remodeling a building, and there wasn't nobody else to do it. And I said, I can do it, because you know why I can say that? Because when you're in the helps ministry, you can tap into everything God has for you so that you can do it, even though you don't know what you're doing. All right, that's the Holy Ghost, all right? That's like a woman, all right? She's a helpmate to the man. In other words, what he don't have, she can get a hold of and help him. Oh, ladies, you might as well shout amen. So what I'm saying to you is I've had the ability to experience God in many aspects of serving, okay? You know, not just pastoring, not just, you know, ministry from a pulpit, but ministry and serving. And these floors look amazing.
Right?
Hallelujah. I mean, it just shows forth the glory of God more and more, brighter and brighter. Hallelujah. Anyhow, in seeing that, I want to encourage you with something.